Chapter 24, from Nagpur to Lahore. Within a matter of minutes, we were ready to leave for Lahore. We did not get time even to send a message about our departure to friends outside. By Mansha Singh and other friends were eagerly expecting our release from Nagpur. They had even made elaborate arrangements for such special rejoicings and jubilations, but unfortunately, they could not even get the bare information of our sudden departure. I was taken in a car to the railway station. On the way, I was eagerly looking for someone who could carry a message to the Punjabi lines, but I could not see a single Sikh on the road who could possibly do it. Even if I could find a Congressite friend nearby, he would have at once delivered the message. It was perhaps the will of God that I should leave the place in utter secrecy. People might have been tempted to follow me in a procession and made some flattering demonstrations which might have fired my vanity. I was, however, anxious to have a glimpse of those affectionate souls who had bestowed so much love on me. A meeting with any one of the friends would have given me great consolation. On reaching the railway station, I was given a berth in the third-class department by the police guards accompanying me. I was still anxiously looking out for someone to carry my parting message to friends living on the Punjabi lines. I saw three Sikh railway policemen coming towards my compartment. They were on duty and walked this way and that way on the platform, not knowing that someone was eagerly waiting for them to come near so that he may unburden his overwhelming feelings. When they came near my compartment, I greeted them with folding hands, saying, "Vaheguru Ji Ka Khalsa, Vaheguru Ji Ki Fateh." "Of God is the Khalsa, victory up to the Lord." They returned the greetings respectfully and warmly grasped my hands as if they knew me from a long time. Although their faces were unknown, the goodwill of their hearts radiated, created an unusual intimacy. Seeing some policemen with me, they guessed somehow that I was the unfortunate prisoner whose sufferings had caused sensation throughout the country and prayers had been offered everywhere. Can we be of any service, Bhai Sahib?" they asked. I requested them to somehow inform my friends in the Punjabi lines about my departure. One of them immediately ran off to the Punjabi lines, while the other two started fetting me as best they could. They brought ice, fruit, and other edibles, for which I thanked them, and accepted what little I could eat. They felt extremely happy, and wished they had known about my arrival on the station earlier. Punjabi lines were far off when, after 15 minutes, the train engine gave the whistle. No one had arrived. Even up to the last minute, I was hoping that someone might come. At last, I left the message with the railway policeman in the words of the 10th master, Guru Gobind Singh. "Mitr pyare nu haal muridan da kehna, tud bin rog rajaiyan da ordan, naag nivasan de rehna, sool surahi, khanjar piala, bing kasaiyan da sena, yarde da sanu satar changa, pat khediyan da rehna." Go tell the beloved friend the condition of his yearning disciple. Without the rice coverings are in endless agony. To live in the comforts of our households is like living with snakes. Our pitchers have become like pikes on which men are impaled. The cup we drink from has an edge like a dagger. Beloved, thy turning away from us is like what a beast endures from the slaughter. With the beloved, a mattress of straw would please us. Without him, in rich houses we are burnt alive. Guru Gobind Singh. Like a stream separated from the river, I was moving away from the devoted friends, hoping that by the grace of God, I would meet them again, in spiritual communion at least. The train steamed off, and the next stoppage was Itarsi station. There was a long stoppage at the Itarsi junction. I got down from my compartment and was strolling on the platform when an unknown person offered me a large watermelon. I had never tasted such a delicious watermelon before. This sweet offering of love was more than sufficient to appease my hunger. All of a sudden, I saw a very handsome divine man with a glowing radiant face. He had a lovely white beard and was dressed like a medieval Akali saint. Without recognizing and without formal greetings, we embraced each other. As we met in this warm, affectionate embrace, we were happy beyond expression. As I looked at that grand personality, trying to recognize him, he asked me, "Have you not recognized me, Paisalji?" "Are you not Akali Kaur Singh?" I asked. We had met after 25 years, and he was really happy I recognized him. I had met him in his early youth, when he was just getting a beard. He was then very handsome and had a deep spiritual glow of his lovelorn face. He had then just been baptized into the Khalsa, the holy order, and the radiance of his soul, wedded to the highest religious ideals, could be seen from his inspired youthful face. He had aged a little, yet on his glowing face, the white beard, was a radiance which is hard to describe. Now, after 16 years of imprisonment, I had met a saintly Sikh from the free world for the first time. Akali Kaur Singh was traveling in an inter-class compartment. He took me and my little luggage to his compartment and gave me a comfortable seat there. Knowing my abstemious habits of Vivek ideal, he looked after my comforts and requirements. He took out some sattus, some ground barley, from his bag and mixed them with cold water. This humble fare removed all my hunger and thirst. Then we talked for many hours. He gave me the latest news of the heroic fight of the Sikhs for their rights. We discussed innumerable subjects. Akali Kaur Singh traveled with me up to Delhi. There were some more Sikhs in the compartment who fulfilled an unasked desire of informing my friends and relatives about my departure from Nagpur to Lahore. From Delhi, Akali Kaur Singh sent some more telegrams to my family, Gyani Nar Singh, and other friends. I can never forget this act of kindness and love of this great soul. At Delhi, I parted with Akali Kaur Singh. Delhi reminded me of the days of the Gurdwara movements, which started with the Rakab Ganj episode. Just then, another unfortunate thing had happened at Gurdwara Sis Ganj, which pained me very much. The telegrams given to my village home did not reach my people in time, but Gyani Nar Singh received the information before my arrival. It was getting dark when the train reached Amritsar, and on the platform stood Gyani Nar Singh and Gyani Harbhajan Singh, carrying flowers and fruits. I had been separated from them since a long time. There was a very large crowd of many unknown admirers and well-wishers. As soon as I stepped out of the train, people rushed towards me with an overflowing love and affection. One after the other, they came forward to greet me and embraced each one of them warmly. As there was very little time at our disposal, such meetings with individuals had to be cut short. Gyani Nar Singh then gave a brief introduction of all the people who were present. Some important news was also given to me. Gyaniji had much to say, so he accompanied me to Lahore. During an hour's journey to Lahore, we talked and discussed many things, but the hour passed like a minute, and we reached Lahore station. Gyaniji went to S.B. Mehtab Singh's residence, while I was taken to my usual abode, the prison. I was first taken to a police station near the railway station, but they refused to accept me. Then I was taken to the Anarkali police station. Everyone was asleep. It was almost midnight. The officer in charge of the police lockup came out feeling disturbed and upset, and said to the policeman accompanying me, "Why could you not find a place for him in the police lockup near the railway station?" The Havildar in charge of me said they refused to accept him or take any responsibility for him because he is a B-class prisoner. He can be lodged only in this place. So you better give him a place here without any further question. He must be given rest for the night here, and in the morning he must be taken to the central jail. The officer in charge got up hesitantly and opened the special room for me. When I entered the room, I saw an English internee lying dead drunk. The room was stinking with foul smell of wine, and the whole atmosphere was intolerable. I flatly refused to go into the room. "I will not spend a night in this room," I said, "even if you give me a reward of 100 rupees to do so." The dozing officer took up his bunch of keys and opened another room. It was quite cool and clean. It was a hot season, and the temperature quite high. The officer switched on the electric lamp and the electric fan. I spread my bed on a cot. There was a warm tap nearby, and a commode in the corner. I was left alone to enjoy my rest and calm in solitude. This was for the first time that I enjoyed an electric fan. It had not been invented before I entered the prison. I enjoyed the restful sleep. The next morning, I was taken to Lahore Central Jail. Mr. Chopra was the superintendent of the Central Jail, Lahore. I was taken straight to his room. After examining my chalan, letter of advice, the prison history sheet, he asked me, "Would you like to stay in B class or with your companion and friends in C class?" To which I replied, "I'm not particular of both the B class. They offered this class to me at Nagpur, but I preferred staying with my friends in C class. The only preference I demand is the right to wear blue or black outer turban and yellow inner turban, and to wear the Khalsa symbols, the kutch, the kada, etc. I would like either to cook my food myself or get it cooked by my companions." Mr. Chopra was deeply moved by my singular request. He offered me a seat close by and sent for Pai Chor Singh, who was imprisoned along with us. Mr. Chopra first talked to Pai Chor Singh separately and then introduced him to me. As soon as Pai Chor Singh saw me, he embraced me for a moment. For a moment, we both forgot the presence of the jail superintendent. We had never met before, because he was sent into life imprisonment in the Lahore conspiracy case and had been sent to Andaman Islands. We, the prisoners of the supplementary Lahore conspiracy case, had been sent to Hazari Bagh. When we were in Madras Presidency prison, the prisoners from Andaman Islands, including Pai Chor Singh, were also brought there, but we were all lodged in different jails, so we were not able to meet each other there. I had heard a good many stories of the heroic deeds of Pai Chor Singh. One such story, which a recent occurrence had impressed me deeply. One prisoner, Pai Jawala Singh, was ordered to be whipped as he was very weak. And as he was very weak, Pai Chor Singh offered to be whipped in his place. Pai Chor Singh had never seen me, but he had become a great devoted admirer. I had never met anyone who was so eager to meet me and bestow his affection and love. So on meeting me, all his joy knew him no bounds. He said, "Blessed am I. Blessed is this moment of unexpected meeting with the hero and beloved friend whom I have been longing to meet." Out of all the political prisoners, the superintendent in jail had the greatest faith in Pai Chor Singh. All the junior officers in charge of political prisoners' block respected him and served him as they would serve a master. After seeing us meet in this warm and affectionate manner, the superintendent advised Pai Chor Singh to take me with him and lodge me in his block in his company. Arm in arm, he led me to his cell. As he led me, he continued his charming talk about our past. After spending nearly 15.5 years in various prisons all over India, we were now back in Lahore jail, from where our life sentence began. As I moved on, accompanied by Pai Chor Singh, I came to the same block from where we were taken to a Multan jail in Fetters. The prison cells in this block were close to each other, but the prisoners had a different look. Now all Sikh prisoners were wearing turbans. What a contrast it was to the ugly spectacle of 1915-16, when the Sikhs were deprived even of their turbans as soon as they came to prison. They were given clownish caps with this ridiculous headdress of their faces, looked horrible. Now with their lovely turbans and kashere, they did not even look like prisoners. Formerly, they seemed to have lost all their manhood and appeared to be subhuman creatures put in the cage. Now with the symbols and uniform of Guru Gobind Singh, they appeared to be handsome and saintly souls. Within a matter of minutes, news spread throughout the prison that the first prisoner of the Gurdwara reform movement, who had undertaken a fast for 40 days and procured for all types of Sikh prisoners, political and others, the right to wear their turbans and Sikh symbols, was now in their prison. In small groups, they came to me and expressed unbounded gratitude for procuring them their religious rights. They warmly appreciated my determined struggle to lead a Sikh life in the face of such oppression and fighting for the right of the Sikh prisoners to wear turbans and keep the symbols. I was taken to a cell and seated there. When some of my old companions came to know of my arrival, they all came rushing to me. One prison cell came. Bakar Singh of Trudike, from another appeared by Harnam Singh of Kala Sangya. From one corner came Brother Kirpa Singh, all smiles. All old friends came there, from one side or the other. Everyone met me with warm embrace. In joy and exultation, the long-separated friends met me and talked about the saga of separation and suffering in prisons for the past many years. Bhai Kirpa Singh and Bhai Bakar Singh undertook the duty of preparing my food with great eagerness and devotion. Everyone was now getting the dark blue turbans. The whole staff and the internees of the prison were greatly impressed by the character and work of my old companions. Bhai Chahar Singh was given the duty of distributing milk to the sick and ailing prisoners. He would personally go to every prisoner and give him his own milk. The prisoners derived a peculiar satisfaction in taking milk from his hands. Bhai Vaswa Singh of Germany was in charge of the political prisoners' kitchen, the langar. Bhai Harnam Singh, Bhai Kirpa Singh, used to bring rations and other things from the store. The prison officers had great confidence in the integrity of those men. Ever since the responsibility of the prisoners' food was given to these patriots, the prisoners enjoyed a healthy, heavenly life in those days of darkness and delusion. They would take their food only when everyone had been served to his satisfaction. Bhai Chahar Singh was of such contented nature that he distributed the whole of the milk to the needy. He even distributed his own milk, specially fixed by the jail superintendent for him, to the sick and needy, and did not care for his own weak health. Like ideal and true Sikhs, he practiced charity and left behind him the sweet memories of his great virtues, which would ever be blessed and recorded in the presence of God. After about a month of my bosom friend, Bhai Kartaz Singh of Namachand, was transferred to Lahore prison. We were all very happy. The recitation of Gurbani, the secret hymns, again became a daily routine. According to my wishes, he was given a prison cell just opposite mine. Sukhmani and Sukhmana of Guru Ram Das were recited by turn. After evening prayers, so eagerly that the prisoners in the whole block could hear them. After the congregational prayers, the Ardas, Kirtan was performed every day. The new political prisoners from other blocks would come and join us. I met Dr. Basant Singh here for the first time. The very first meeting developed into a deep friendship of spiritual union. It was as if a loving friend of past life met me for the first time in this life after a long separation. There developed a great love and affection between us within a few days, and he shared with me the religious and spiritual ideals and practices, and became a companion on the spiritual path. His life now became a purely religious life of a bhakt. The political prisoners of the 1930s civil disobedience movement also came to a block, and gatherings of satsang of holy congregation increased. The doors remained open the whole day. We were at first given permission to hold prayers and religious discussions in the daytime under the trees for about 2 hours. By Veer Singh's famous works, Guru Nanak Chamatkar and Kalgi Tar Chamatkar were read for about months together. After some time, we were permitted to hold even the evening prayers and kirtan in the open. These blissful congregational meetings continued till it was quite dark. Our block was generally last to be locked. At the end of these congregational meetings, there were loud cries of Sat Sri Akal, which were heard throughout the prison and far away. Young men who had been imprisoned recently felt strongly inclined towards religious life. The patriotic fighters of freedom, the Deshbhakts, and all other political prisoners developed a religious bent of mind. The prison officials were happy and felt relieved on seeing that the disturbing and rowdy element was now calmed. The Daroga of the prison, Khan Saab Muhammad Akbar, was particularly impressed. He developed a deep respect for me. His life as a prison official had considerably hardened him towards the prisoners. His attitude towards me was very gentlemanly. In his heart, he had developed a deep respect for the spiritual life of Sikhs. He met me very often and did whatever I asked him to do. Whenever the political prisoners wanted him to do anything, they got it. They got it done through me. Whenever the political prisoners agitated for anything, he would ask me to pacify them and ask them to do things tactfully and peacefully. The political prisoners even obeyed my old companions. All the prisoners and officials and clerks of the prison addressed me as Babaji, and they agreed to comply even my wayward suggestions. The Daroga respected me for this reason also. When anyone came to meet me, he arranged the meeting with particular interest, generally in his own room. When Brother Sajjan Singh came to see me along with Bhagat Jaswant Singh, the Daroga arranged the meeting in his own room. He was deeply influenced by our conversation. Before this meeting, Bhai Sundar Singh Kumar, Bhai Gyani Nar Singh, and other relatives had already met me. I had already come to know that I had been transferred from Nagpur to Lahore in connection with my early release. Bhagat Jaswant Singh had already told me, in the presence of the Daroga, that preparations were underway and orders for early release were expected soon. After the visitors had left, the Daroga also told me that some correspondence in connection with my release were already going on with higher authorities, and my unconditional release was expected very soon. He, however, asked me to keep this confidential. Bhagat Jaswant Singh had also told me that the release would be unconditional. A few days later, Sardar Bahadur Singh, the CID superintendent, also met me in the jail superintendent's office. From my talks with him, it was clear that the release would be unconditional. My meeting with Sardar Sant Singh was very interesting and delightful. I do not remember all that transpired between us, nor do I remember the details of our conversation. It would be sufficient to say that the replies given by me to his questions impressed him deeply and profoundly. He also did not talk to me in a roundabout way like police officers, but put very plain questions and talked very frankly. My plain answers appeared to have moved him deeply. After this day, both the superintendents and the Daroga started showing even greater reverence. The Daroga paid frequent honorific visits, and whenever he came, he offered his services to oblige me in every way. I would generally say that when the time came, I would ask him to do something important. One day, he pressed me to make this special request and agreed to tell if he promised to do what I asked. The Daroga says, "I will do all that is possible to fulfill your wishes within the limits of my powers." I tell him, "Now that you have promised, I will make a request." He asks, "Please do tell me." Whatever is possible, I will certainly do. May I now know how I can serve to fulfill your wishes? I ask him. It is something within your powers. There is a young man named Bhagat Singh in the prison. He is very anxious to meet me. I wish to meet him before I am released. Please arrange the meeting. The Durga said that it was quite a difficult thing to do, but since he had given the promise, he assured me that he would definitely arrange the meeting. He also assured me that the meeting would take place before I was released, and before Bhagat Singh met his death sentence. The only difficulty was that it was not easy to persuade the superintendent to arrange the meeting. Because the day I had arrived in Lahore jail, Bhagat Singh had put up an application seeking permission to meet me, and the superintendent had categorically refused him permission, saying that he could meet any prisoner except by Dhir Singh. I asked him, "So you will really have to face considerable difficulty." "Be it so," he said, "but I will do what I have promised you." I asked him, "But please be careful. You should not get into trouble for it. I do not want you to do such things which may cause any harm to your career or which may result in any unpleasant outcome to you." "Please do not worry," he replied. "We can handle such matters in many ways. I will find out some ways and means to fulfill the promise I have given you. Blessed indeed are you, because you show such a deep concern even for prison officials like me. Let us hope for the best." After this assurance, he went away a while. I sent a message to Bhagat Singh the same day that we would be meeting positively, and by the grace of the Guru, it may be quite soon. "Rest assured and prepared," I said.